Today's daf is Masechet Shavuot. We're holding a daf chavav on the top line. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Eino Chayav Ela Al Ha'atid Lavo. So we had this fundamental machloket that's been lurking in the background all along. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there is no such thing as Shnayim Shein Arba. There's only a Lahara, Leitiv, as it says in the Pasuk. And therefore, the entire structure of the Masech is really built around Rabbi Akiva's approach. Tana Rabbanan, now let's try to understand finally what the argument is. As it turns out that this argument is one of the primal expressions of the approach to Kol HaTorah Kula that we've discussed earlier in the Masech, which is Lalo Prada, Ribuy, or Mu. So it says in the Pasuk, Lahara O Leitiv, but let's really consider it the entire Pasuk. First, the Pasuk begins with, O Nefesh Kiti Shava Levatei Bisvatai, which of course is a law, any type of Levate. Then it says Lahara Olehetiv, and that is followed by the words Lachol Asher Yevate Adam Bishvua, which is obviously a klal. No matter how you read that klal, or in the technical sense, it may be a ribuy, depending on how you view it. But it's certainly constructed along the lines of mentioning twice the overall idea of bitui shvua, and then specifying Lahara Olehetiv. So keeping that in mind, if we just take the pasuk piece by piece, we just start with the words Lahara Olehetiv. Certainly I would have thought, in Liel Advarim Shiesh Behem Hara'a V'Hatava. So then that would mean that there has to be some type of significance to your Shvuah. But how much Ein Behem Hara'a V'Hatava Minah? Can you make a Shvuah that has no real significance? Such as the case we spoke about before, I'm going to throw a pebble onto this rock. I'm going to make that pebble sip. I swear I will. So is that a Shvuah? Talmud Lomar, O Nefesh Ki. Now that means of any type. So that the Lahara Leitiv cannot mean literally Lahara Leitiv. But if that's the case, only lehaba, the whole meaning of the shvuah is only lehaba. How would we know that there's also such a thing as a type of shvuah on which you swear not to commit yourself to something, but that rather you are saying the truth about something? An entirely different idea of commitment. Talmud Lomar lechol asher yevateh adam b'shvuah. Therefore, we close with another ribuy, anything at all. So this is Rabbi Akiva. So bottom line is, we're left with these two ribuyim that would include both insignificant shvuot and also the past, as well as the future. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, look, it says la'ra le'tiv, that is la'ba, and that's the end of it. Omer Rabbi Akiva, what do you mean, that's the end of it? If that's the end of it, then you should have said only things, only eladvarim, sheish b'mata atavavara'a. That's what you should say, to be consistent. Whereas the Mishnah said beferish, that even dvarim she'in behem mamash, meaning dvarim she'in behem hara'ava hatava, are included, and you never indicated that you had any objection to that. So clearly you agree. How do you know it? If you're taking the Lahara Leitiv as an absolute. Omar lo, well, I have to admit, I know it from the Ribuy HaKatuv. I mean, it does say Lechol, doesn't it? I mean, there's a Ribuy there somewhere. So, says Rabbi Akiva, well, make up your mind. Im Riba HaKatuv Lekach, Riba HaKatuv Lekach. I mean, how do you pick and choose your Ribuy? It says twice, Levatei Bisvatayim, and then it says Lechol Asher Yevatei Adam. B'shvua. So we've got two ribuyos. I don't understand why you pick and choose. That's a very good point. Shapir Karmelei Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yishmael. What in the world is really lurking here between the lines where we sense that something is behind this discussion? Om Rabbi Yochanan, you're darn right something's behind this discussion. An awful lot of years. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yishmael, he sat and learned by Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona there for so many years. He lived with Shamish and Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona's approach was to be Dorish at Kol HaTorah Kula Bechlal Uprat. So obviously, Rabbi Yishmael's approach, this is what he describes in his famous Braita, is to be Dorish the Torah Bechlal Uprat. We read that all the time with our reading of the Korbanot before the Tefillah. That's Rabbi Yishmael's vision of the Torah. All of these various Klal Uprat, Klal Klasher, Torah Uprat, all of those things is Rabbi Yishmael, which he picked up from Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona as an approach to Kol HaTorah Kula. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, who was Meshamesh at Nachum Ish Gamzu, and as his name indicates, he was Orish at Kol HaTorah Kula Biriba V'mir, to he will always say that the Ribuy is coming to include Gamzu. So he was Dorish Kol HaTorah Kula, not with the Klal Prat Uklal. Remember that it's a fundamentally different approach. Klal Prat Uklal means that the Torah is trying to create sets, and you have to figure out what those sets are. Whereas Ribuy Miut Ribuy is that the Torah is leaving it to you to determine what things are likely or less likely to be included. But it's not providing models that can construct that. Because of that, of course, it's much more limited in its Miut. Yeah. So then that is, you can't get a more fundamentally different approach to how the Torah is constructed. It's not a small issue. So now if I apply that, I recognize, we're talking about a lifetime of work here, apply that to this pasuk, and then you see instantly what the machlokas is here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Because he is also being Darish, Rabbi Akiva, Nami, Riba, Vamiyad. Okay, so now let's see how that works out. You're saying that this explains it all. So, my Rebbe Akiva Darish Ribu Miyute? Well, take a look at the Braita. I'm not making this up. The Braita says like this, the Tanya. We read that pasuk, and that pasuk is chock full of information. It starts off with saying, O nefesh ki si shava levate bisvatayim. Now, that's a very general thing. Man makes himself a shvua. Now, if you stop there, then you assume that it's any type of committed statement, and that would be a Ribu. Okay, then you now have a statement about detail. Lahara olaiti, which seems to limit it very clearly to hara hatava and to the future. So that would be a miut. Then you continue on in the very next word, l'chol asher yivatei adam b'shvua, which is, wow, I mean, that's saying, forget about what I just said. I didn't really mean the din of lahara olaiti. Actually, anything. So then you're chazav a riba. The rule is riba, miut, riba, hakol. Okay? And the miut is just to put you on notice that there has to be a limit to what's included in shvua. Now you define the limit. What's the least likely thing to be included as a shvua that has absolutely no resemblance to the case given? So my riba, take it from me, anything. Okay? But, I mean, so what is not included in this? My miut. Miut, something that's none of your darn business. It's not up to you. In other words, to given that the nature of the shvua is, we're talking about, that which you wish to create. This is your vision of life. I will do this, I won't do this. This happened, this didn't happen. But if it comes to a dvar mitzvah, the whole point of a dvar mitzvah is that it's out of your hands. So you want to come now to make a shvua that you're going to cancel a mitzvah. That obviously is the thing that is the least nogea. The whole parsha of shvuas, and therefore, if the Torah is saying, look, there's got to be some element of reshut involved. It's l'ara leitiv, in which it's a non-absolute.
Like, for example, l'ara leitiv.
No. It's true. But it's more than just an example. It also shows you a tendency, in which the l'ara leitiv gives you a sense of it's irrelevant, it's up to you. You can do good, you can do bad, but something that's absolute, we're not talking about over here. So it gives you an insight into the nature of the parsha. It creates an ambience, actually, as opposed to giving you a model which then allows you to construct the set. Rabbi Yishmael, on the other hand, he darshits klal uprat. Okay, so now take a look what a difference that makes. You start the pasuk by saying nefesh ki tishaval levatei b'svatayim. That's a klal. Then you say l'ara leitiv, that's a prat. Then you say l'chol asher yivatei adam, chaz of the klal. Okay, now what's the rule about klal prat or klal? The rule about klal prat or klal is that yat adam ela ke'in haprat. So now we create a set. The set is all those things that have to do with commitment to the future. L'ara leitiv, whatever it is. So just like the prat is befurash lahaba, afkol lahaba, which means I couldn't possibly say that the model given is lahaba and also needs to have some type of significant impact on your health or your way of life, because then the klal has no meaning at all. So the klal tells me, look, well, let's not overdo this. Take the most general sense. What is the meaning of l'ara? A commitment of some sorts. I don't care what direction it is. I'll give you the extremes. L'ara, you want to do something that is in the middle. Obviously, that's included in the set of the extremes. So therefore, the haniklala. So the klal now has helped me to understand that we need to include afilu dvarim she'im bem hara avatava. Can't literally mean hara avatava. So you don't need the klal at all. And now those things would be, of course, given that would be lahaba, so that the ani prati lemute afilu dvarim sheyesh be mahara avahatava l'she'avar. Now, wait a minute. This seems a bit arbitrary. I mean, there'd be two ways of looking at l'ara leitiv. You could say, it's taking the extremes of the impact. Or you could say, it's taking the extremes of the future. However the future will go. It could go this way and go the opposite way. But it's all a focus on what will be. Why not make the prod? Hey, Buchana, why not look at it in the other way? The klal helps to tell me now, even those dvarim will be in the other. Omrik, you don't. Well, I mean, the point is that the model is not just a model of extremes. It's a model of hype. Because if you consider la ra leitiv, what is involved in not doing la ra leitiv? You're going to be over on the isser of bal yachel devoro. You made a commitment. These are both issues of commitment. Commitments to do something that's painful, commitments to do something that's pleasurable. But the point is, it's a commitment which, if not kept, involves the isser bal yachel devoro. You made a shvua. Don't now treat your words as meaningless. But if you're going to try to tell me that the model over here is to tell me even things that are anyway something to do with what happens to me, but certainly not things that are in the middle, if you're going to include the past, you're including an entirely different type of shvua. It doesn't make sense to change the nature of the set that you're coming to describe. It makes sense to expand the set that you're coming to describe. So it doesn't leave room for saying that I should include now another type of shvua, a shvua sheker, which has nothing to do with bal yachel devaro. Over here, eini zero mishum bal yachel devaro, eli mishum bal tishakru, don't lie. But if I make a commitment to the future, I'm not lying. I'm committing. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avin Omar, Omar Kro, you know what? That's very true. But you don't even need to come on to that. Because the klal prado klal has to be defined by the nature of the pasuk first. And then you could start thinking about, so what is the nature of the set? For heaven's sake, if you look at the pasuk very subtly makes clear what it's coming to expand on here with this klal ra. Because what it says is, O nefesh ki tishava levate besfatayim, correct? That's not a loose statement. Because ki tishava levate. The kiki shava is the act of making the vow. Livate does not just mean to express that vow. It's also the nature of the information expressed. The shvua is the fact of a vow. The bitui is the definition of what it is I'm vowing about. Now, let me ask something. In a technical sense, if I have two possibilities, I'm making a shvua about the past, and I'm making a commitment to the future. If I make a shvua about the past, I need to tell you the information and then swear that it's true, because the information already existed. If I'm making a shvua about the future, then the shvua is creating that future. It's creating that commitment. See, if I say that the shvua is levate, I'm talking about the future. If I was talking about swearing about an event that happened in the past, I would say levate b'shvua. And I don't say that. So the pasuk starts off right away. We are talking about the future. Now, what type of things in the future? La ra leitiv. What does that la ra leitiv tell me? Oh, it tells me the full envelope about the possibilities of the future. Good, bad, in between, whatever it is. That's all that it's saying. That I know from the klal. Otherwise, I would have said that it's been definitive. So I don't have a choice. Now, obviously, as Tosis points out, this in and of itself wouldn't be enough to limit it to the future. Because it's merely a whisper of a hint at which direction to take in the understanding of the klal prado klal that's being introduced. You still need the klal prado klal. I mean, otherwise, he's just undoing the whole discussion of Rabbi Yochanan. He'd be saying, well, we don't need a klal prado klal. We can just look at the pasuk, even if it wouldn't have said, why is there given this klal prado? So obviously, this is not a deer that is strong enough in and of itself to exclude anything about the past. But it's certainly information about the direction to take in darshaning the klal prado klal. No, the seriousness, which words, and the understanding that it's not absolute, that it's subtleties, that needs to be coupled to the way in which you can understand the entirety of the holistic structure of the pasuk. It's just marvelous. It's just marvelous. Sensitivity is absolutely poetic all the time. All right. I have to stop giving my, all I do is, I keep nothing. Barney, I'll end up like you if I never stop. Very nice. Okay. So let's see how he puts that. Omar Kro Nefesh Kisi Shavalava Tepis Fatai Misha Shwa Kodemet Levitui Velosha Bitui Kodemet Leshwa. Whereas this shvua that you're suggesting, Achalti Velochal, over there the Maaseh comes first, comes before the shvua, and yet the Pasuk is saying the shvua comes before the Maaseh. Okay, now the implications of this next piece are really nothing short of a sound. Tanur Rabban, we're now going to darshan the strange combination of words. L'chol Asher Yevatei Ha'adam B'Shvua. Anything that a human would say as a shvua. Ha'adam Am Bishvua. We taught the Pasuk means with Al Nefesh Ki Tishava, a person. I mean, surely we're not talking about apes making a Shvua or a parakeet making a Shvua. I mean, what do we have to say Ha'adam Bishvua? So this comes to teach me Prat La'anus. This is only where he is a full-scale Adam, meaning that he is completely involved and committed to what it is that he's saying. Now, as the Ritva points out, when it says Prat La'anus, it doesn't mean literally over here. A guy's got a gun to your head, because I don't need a pasuk here for that. That's all over the Torah. And onus is not considered to be your act at all. That's not a need for onus of Adam B'Shvua. It means Prat La'anus, where you are being misled. And we're going to define what way you're being misled. But you're not fully present. And then it says, the next word, Adam B'Shvua, V'ne'alam Mimen, which we pointed out before, that's weird. V'ne'alam V'hu Yadam, and that we understand with the din of Alamot. But here we don't have a din of Yediyah Tchila. The closest thing that we have is this idea of the clear commitment, which is the equivalent of the Yediyah Tchila. You had to have made that Shvua and know what you meant. So now it's Ne'alam. Ne'alam means we do not include Mesi. In other words, if you are aware of the fact that what you're doing is that he is a Shvua, then that's not included. And you're not Chayiv, a Korban Ola V'Yored. We spoke about this. You could be Chayiv Malkus because of the Isser. The only time you're Chayiv, a Korban Ola V'Yored B'Mesi is where? We learned that yesterday that it doesn't say the nail on. Which is why that was a unique situation. So Prat Lemezit. Now, it then says Vinela Mimenu. What was Ne'alam Mimenu? Mimenu teaches that the only Ha'alama where was the Shvua was Nitalma. Nitalma Mimenu Shvua. You might think that even in a case where the object of the Shvua is Nitalma, that's also considered to be now a Ne'alam that's B'chayev Yukar. All this is going to be clean. That may also be considered to be a Ne'alam Mimenu. So Yochosh Nital Mimenu Chefet, the object of the Shvua. Talmud Lomar Bishvua V'Ne'alam. Only Ne'alam Shvua Chayav, Eno Chayav Al Ha'alem Achev. So let's go back and look at this again and take it step by step. You began by saying, Omama, Adam Bishvua. This is Prat La'anus. Okay, now what do you mean? Well, I mean like a case of two guys who walk out of the Daf Yomi, each one swears that it said this in the shir, and they are swearing to the opposite thing, okay? So now, when this happens all the time, Rav Kana Rav Asi, get out of Rav shir, Kevin Mekame Mekame to Rav, they both swear to the fact that Rav said X or minus X. Now, they both are not true, right? So one says, and the other one says, well, I swear he said just the opposite, all right? Now, since Rav is alive, we could go ask him. So now we go back to Rav. Obviously, Rav cannot say both, because we'll go together. So now what is he going to do? So we'll go back in front of Rav. He's going to say, Kechad Minayim. Then the other one shouts, what? Are you saying that I swore falsely? So Amar Le'idach, whoever the other one was on that occasion, Ve'ana B'shikra Yishtabai? Does that mean that I lied? Amar Le'i, so Rav would say, it's Libecha Anasecha. You have been seduced by your own heart. Now, the problem is, gentle, this is an amazing thing. The diuk was from Ha'adam. Rashi's lashon, Ha'adam B'Shvua, means, Shiehei Adam B'Sha'at Shvua, meaning Shiehei Libo Allah. He shall be fully aware at the time of the Shvua. He was fully aware. That was Libo. He said, Libcha Anasecha. That's what Rav said. So then that should be included in Ha'adam B'Shvua. How can we possibly exclude a case of Libcha Anasecha where it was exactly what he fully believed at the time? That is Adam B'Shvua. What Rashi is saying is an astonishing thing. Shiehei Adam B'Shat Shvua means that the Adam is attuned to reality. So, and you feel this all the time about people that you can't argue with. There's nobody home.
Because they wanted to make this.
They are just not fully human right now. That's what he's saying. This is not a human. A human being who cannot detect his deviation from reality is not fully human at all. So Mamela, as he's saying, well, you know, you're not fully there, so what can we expect? We can't hold you responsible for Shvua like that. He's not saying something good. He's saying this is not Adam B'Shvua. So that ultimately when we read a pasuk of Elohim Barat Adam Yashar, Does that mean that in that bakasha they are fully themselves? No, they're not fully themselves. Of course, when you try telling this to people, they get very angry. But this is really the truth. You know it. It's only the person who doesn't know it. You know that he's capable of being different. And yet he's convinced, so this is me, I tell you, this is really me. Honest to goodness, this is the real me. You're not fully Adam. Okay. That's not so posh. Tosfos says, you want to hear what Tosfos says? Or do you want to insist on your point of view? Is it going to be Adam Bishvua? Tosfos says, if this is the response, then Rav could not have been telling him, no, don't worry about it, you're not high of a carbon. I mean, but I did swear falsely. He obviously is addressing the underlying issue. It's like my kids always tell me when I say, no, it's kosher. You know, you can eat it. I say, yeah, we can eat it, but then we'll have to bring a carbon.
That's the book for you.
They always say this. Okay, but would you eat it? So, I mean, is that what he's saying? Yeah. Okay, you don't have to bring the carbon, but you're a rotten liar. So, obviously, that can't be what he's saying. Therefore, it must be that you didn't do anything wrong. It's not that you don't have to bring the carbon. You didn't do anything wrong. There's no punishment in the Shamayim for having been libcha anasecha. There's no punishment. That he's not denying is a problem. It's not a problem of Shvua. It's a problem in you. It's different. It's like you have to grow up.
You have a chiv to be you.
Yes, but that's not shvua. That's the general chiv. It's not the yisur shvua. There's no onish on the shvua. Well, that we were careful about the Shem Hashem, even when we make a shvua. Part of the whole. That we're going to see. You know, that we're going to see later about what the place is of the Shem Hashem in all of Tisat Shmi and so on. Okay, the next piece we said was something that was very vague. You said, doesn't even make any sense. You said, "V'ne'alam mimenu, shenitalem mimenu shvua." This is a quote. Yocho shenitalem mimenu chevet, tamud omar bishvua v'ne'alam mimenu. Ha'le'alem shvua v'chayav, v'eno chayav ha'le'alem chevet. Now back in Eretz Yisrael, where they don't have any tolerance for nonsense, they burst out laughing. Right? That's a ridiculous thing. I mean, it's an absurdity. Mechakole b'ma'arov. How in the world would you ever have such a situation? I can certainly imagine forgetting the Shvua and not forgetting the Chefet. For instance, there's no Shvua mashkachat la below Chefet. Kegon, you can have a Shvua without forgetting the Chefet. Let's say you swore that you're not going to eat, and you are crazy over eating wheat bread. Except the problem is you have a gluten sensitivity. So you finally make a Shvua, I'm not eating gluten, all right? Not going to eat wheat bread. And then there's this delicious looking loaf, and you say, I made it. I must have made a shvua that I really want to eat that up. And then you say, Kasavar, he's convinced that he said, I swear I'm going to eat that. And he goes and he eats it. So then you remember very well what it was about. It was about eating that wheat bread. You just don't remember that you had committed yourself to not eating it. Right? So he eats it. The Kasavar, so in that case, over there, Shvuate Inshin, he forgot the Shvua, but he remembers what the nature of the Chefetz was. Okay, fine, you want to tell me that that's enough, I understand. You try to give me a case where you forget the Chefetz without forgetting a Shvua. It's a joke. And you tell me, where is there such a case? Now what? You say, a Shvua that I will not eat Patriti. And you think that what you said was that I will not eat Patsorim, okay? So there he's remembering the Shvua, but he's forgetting the Chefetz. If he forgot the Chefetz, he forgot the Shvua, no? I mean, he's remembering a non-existent Shvua, and the real Shvua he forgot. How can you forget the Chefetz without forgetting the Shvua? I mean, this is just a lot of fancy footwork. It has nothing to do with reality. You cannot forget a Chefetz and not at the same time forget the Shvua. It's sophistry. So they laughed at it. Because over there, given the Chefetz in Shilu, I know hell on Shvua doesn't boil down to having forgotten the Shvua also. It doesn't even make any sense. Hello, Rabbi Elazar. They're right. Davida Achati. It's really the same thing. Now, not everybody. That's how Rashi learned. If it's really the same thing, it means that this part is a mistake in the brayta. Somebody put it in. It wasn't meant to be taken seriously. The whole diak wasn't a real diak. Other Rishonim don't like that. What does that mean? Lo Shama, he's now saying the Tana made a mistake. We're not attempting to explain it. He says, no, the point is, of course, Davida Achati. Both cases are forgetting the Shvua. But one case is also forgetting the Shvua, not forgetting the Shvua. Remember, in one case, the nature of the Shvua and only the Shvua that I'm open. In the other case, I'm introducing a new element. I do remember the Shvua, except the wrong Chayat. Which means, of course, I forgot the real Shvua, but I also forgot something else. So now, The question is, this carbon, this unique carbon of an oliviarate, which is absolutely unique because you're bringing it on a lav, you're not bringing it on an isiarate. And we had very, very specific definitions of which exact shvua you're going to bring. The question is, lavar, lava, does it have to be symmetrical, all of these issues? There's another issue here. What does the halama have to be? What did you forget? Now, if your forgetting goes outside of the boundaries of the shvua, you simply forgot what you were talking about. Forget about the question of whether I made a shvua. I mean, you were talking about your gluten sensitivity, and now you're talking about, you think you're talking about sahurim that you don't like. I don't eat rye bread or whatever. I mean, that's a whole different issue. On that, you're not high for carbon oliviari. So he's saying they're both achasi, means, obviously there's also the shvua. That's not what the Tana meant. Now we're going to see that this explanation in Rabbi Elazar over here forces us into a different understanding of the Gemara to come. But it's not a problem, as we will see. Matkifla Rabbi Yosef attacks the whole discussion. I don't understand what your problem is. You're telling me that there's no such thing as the chayfetz without forgetting the shvua. That is absolutely absurd. You want me to tell you a case where you remember the shvua perfectly well, and you got a problem in memory of the chayfetz, the ne'elam of the chayfetz? I'll tell you. It's the kind of thing that happens all the time. Mamash kachafla. You said, shvua shelo ochal papchitin. You put your hand into the bread box where there are patsaorim and patchitim, okay? You put your hand in to take out the patchitim, the patsaorim, to eat in accordance with your shvua. Little did you even notice that you took, because of your focus on not taking the chitim, you obviously went to the chitim. How many times has it happened to you that you put the coffee grinder in the fridge and the milk down on the counter? Well, maybe not to you. It's the kind of thing that happens all the time. You were convinced that you were taking one thing, and you look at what? I could have sworn that I went to take out something else. In this case, you didn't notice. I mean, you took a piece of bread out of the wrapper without even looking. You were sure that your hand was aimed at that thing. You know, this happens in the supermarket. You come up to the checkout, and you see you took out something that was not what you thought you were taking out. Now, over there, you've got a mistake in the chayfetz. You remember perfectly well what your shvua is, and it's coming to tell me that that case is not considered to be the ne'elam that the Torah was b'chayv your carbon on. But what is wrong with that? You guys are making a big deal about something that any child can explain to you, and they're laughing, and it doesn't make any sense, and you're coming up with, well, it means that there's two different types. That's very simple. In that case, shvuati dachirle, you did remember the shvua 100%, and the only thing that you didn't know was the chayfetz. It was ne'elam imen of the chayfetz. Omale abaye. But don't you understand that the deeper level of all of this, what you're thinking is that the reason that they were laughing is they couldn't think of this case, and that the shvua would necessarily be involved in forgetting the chayfetz because of the simple fact that I've changed the nature of the shvua? That's not the point. There's a deeper point over here. The forgetting of the shvua doesn't necessarily mean the forgetting of the nature of the shvua. Forgetting the shvua means forgetting that there is a shvua that is applicable to the situation. So now, when you eat this piece of bread, what did you ultimately forget? The fact that there's a shvua applicable to the situation. You're saying you forgot that the shvua is applicable because you thought you're holding sa'orim. So what? Well, what is the halama? The halama is on the fact that such a shvua applies. You're saying, no, that shvua doesn't obtain, and it did obtain. So, in the bottom line is, kulum mechayavtele korban, ela amai de tofis biyadei. Look, you're trying to say you would be chayav a korban for the object in his hand. Okay? If that's the case, it would be a helam of the shvua also. So, what's the difference? That's why they were laughing, b'ma rabba. Lishnach rina, another way of putting it, what Abai said to Rav Yosef is, bottom line, sof, korban de kamaite ala da hai pat. If you're bringing a korban for eating this pat fitim, it would only be because of the fact that you made a shvua that you thought didn't apply here. So it's, in the end, it's helim shvuaru. Whereas Rav Yosef says, no, no, no. That bottom line is irrelevant, because let me ask you something. Is it not so that the moment that you would have known that it was patritim, you would have instantly stopped eating? So then that means the halama was not a shvua. The halama was entirely the pot, that's all. You would have instantly stopped eating. So what is the missing information? Tell me. Don't give me philosophy. The missing information is that piece of information that would have changed now reality for me. The missing information is you are holding a piece of bread made of wheat. That's the missing information, which means that the ha'alama needs to be focused only on the piece of missing information. That's what v'ne'alam means. V'ne'alam doesn't care about bottom lines. V'ne'alam cares about what you forgot. And in this case, that's all that you forgot. Had you known that, everything else was in place. How do you call that ha'alama v'shua? And it's a mistake. Of course I'm smart enough to figure out why they were laughing. I'm saying it's irrelevant. There is such a thing where clearly the halama is only on the chayv. Okay, so we have now a machlokas about the nature of halama between Rabbi Yosef and all those, including Rabbi Elazar, who was giving alternative explanation to the Braita. Boy, mine rav amir ibn. Now, here's where we get into a little bit of trouble with the approach of the Ramban, who brings many other of the shitas that I mentioned earlier, arguing with Rashi about what the meaning is of ze v'ze b'yado. Ze v'ze b'yado, according to the Ramban, means, by definition, once your error goes out of the field of Shvua and includes other things, that's not what the Torah was mechayev you on. According to that, the next words make absolutely no sense, because that's what Rava asks from Nach. How about if you forget both the Shvua and the Chayfetz, which is exactly what Rabbi Elazar was referring to? So it's very simple. According to the Ramban, the question that Rava was raising here was, according to Rabbi Yosef, who holds that it's all a function of the missing information, not bottom line. If it's not the bottom line, how about if you have two completely different elements of missing information? You happen to think that this is Seorim bread and not Chitim bread. But you know what? You forgot about the fact that you asked yourself for Chitim bread. Anyway, so now, is that considered to be Ne'elam, which is B'chayev you a carbon, or not? That's what I want to know. Ta'elem zev zev biyado mal. Or marlein, what's the difference? Are ye'elem shvua biyado? I mean, the bottom line is, the Torah makes you responsible for forgetting that you made a shvua. Did you forget you made a shvua? So then you're chayev on that, because you actualize forgetting that you made a shvua. No, wait. What does that follow? I mean, Adarav, I could say just the opposite. Since you never actualize forgetting the shvua, because you would have eaten the piece of bread anyway, even if you remembered the shvua, because you thought that the piece... So, obviously the Torah is never mechayev you a carbon for forgetting. It's mechayev you for forgetting that became an act. But in this case, the act would have happened anyway, because you didn't know that this was chitin. So the shvua was irrelevant to the situation in your mind, and therefore I should say, hare helem chepetz biyado, and therefore who cares about the missing information of the shvua? It wouldn't have changed anything anyway, and therefore you should be put. You're saying, but you also forgot the shvua and he's chayev. I mean, why does that follow? And again, Rav Ashi attempts to say the same thing that he said in the similar case that we had before. Said Rav Ashi, well, let's consider the immediate situation. If he would have stopped doing what he's doing if he knew about the Shvua, so then obviously the main piece is the Shvua. If he had he known it was Chitim, he would have been Parish. So then the main piece of information that's missing is the Chayfet. And then he's Potter. I'm going to be in a little Rashi. I don't know what you're talking about. You can't be Parish from the Shvua unless you also know the Chayfet. You can't be Parish from the Chayfet unless you also know the Shvua. So what do I care? And Lamaisa, you will recall, as we explained, what Rav Ashi was trying to say earlier. One of Tosis's interesting explanations was that obviously Rav Ashi is not saying that you'll always know. But what Rav Ashi is saying is that you can discover in certain cases. There's, you say the guy, if someone would have said to you, hey, isn't that wheat? Your reaction would have been, yeah, so? So then that means that you forgot the shvua. But if your reaction would have been, yes, oh my God, that's right, I made a shvua. So then that means that it's the shvua and that the chayf is only triggering the shvua. He's not necessarily saying that you always know. He's just saying it's possible that your response would have been triggered by one and not the other. Now, obviously it's possible that your response would have been triggered by either. Though if you would have said to the guy who thinks he's holding a rye bread, and you would have said to him, didn't you swear not to eat wheat? Yeah. Oh my God, this is the wheat. So then it would have been either direction, you see. And then Erech and Amu, we couldn't know. Rav Ashi wasn't saying you could always know. But there are cases where one would have triggered, the other one wouldn't have triggered. So Rav Ashi is saying, in those cases, then there's the question of what's the underlying missing single piece of information that might have triggered a cascade that would have resulted in a change in your action. Okay? That makes a lot of sense.
that.
Yes, yes. It was the same statement that was made there. The same way Rav Ashi was trying to deal with, is it Helam Kodesh or is it Helam Shvuah? You heard the same thing. Is it Helam Chefetz or is it Helam Shvuah? I mean, in that case, Helam Tuma. Yeah, I'm not telling you. Okay? And again, you see, once again, the beautiful parallels in the Vinelam and the level of the idea that we're talking about, which is the idea here, the understanding of the nature of the Shvuah becomes the idea. When we first, if you recall, the beginning of the Masechta, before we even began, we read through that parsha and remarked at how clearly it's trying to create a parallel between these two parshas of talking about Vinelam, even though they don't seem to be parallel at all. It took us all of this learning to, for the first time, recognize what the parallels are, even though there's no Yediyah B'Tchila. But the reference to a Shvuah is the full equivalent of Yediyah B'Tchila. That's Adam B'Shvuah. Then the Vinelam. What was the Vinelam? Comes right back. That's where we're having exactly the same discussion that we had before by the Helam Tuma versus the Helam Midah. So it's really very, I won't say poetic again. And I get laughed out of the room. All right, look, when I start crying over you, then you can throw me out. Okay, so Ravina doesn't like that. There is no way to determine which piece of information would be missing. And therefore what? Therefore we don't know. We have not given an answer to this question. The original question as asked from Ibn was never responded to. That we were just suggesting that there may be ways of getting around the issue. But what about if the issue actually comes up? Says the Rambam, the issue actually comes up, then you've got a suffix. Well, you can't bring a carbon over your head as a suffix because you may be bringing Kulin Lazara. So that is not an answer. Another question that Rav Rav Nachman and Rishonim point out, it's a little bit strange because this is not really another question that he's raising, which is an abaya. He's really asking a kasha. He's just coaching it in very nice terms because he shows you with the question that he asks that there's a serious problem here. So Rav asks Rav Nachman, explain to me a shigigat bitui. We're talking about a shvulat bitui l'sha'avah, right? Okay, you've talked about the shigaga of the ne'elam mimenu shvuah and all of this, but it's all been in terms of your commitment for the future. I won't eat wheat bread, or whatever the case is. How about the question of, I did eat wheat bread, okay? Where is there the shigaga of the shvuah that could be chay? Because remember, you said we need to have ha'adam b'shvuah. Well, if you had to have the adam b'shvuah, I don't understand what the case is. If you knew that you had not eaten wheat bread, and you swore that you did eat bread, you're amazing. And then it's not included, or even ne'elam. And if you didn't know, so then you're like the Talmidim of Rav. You thought you were saying the truth, but that's called Adam B'Shvuah. So then there's no case at all. And you're saying, Shnayim Shein Arba means there's four possible cases of bringing a carbon all of a Yoreh, and with the very drusha that you just made in a pasuk, there's no possibility. Where's the case? Amarle, the case is where you say, look, I know that I'm lying, okay, and I know that I'm not allowed to lie, but surely it's not clear that I'd be chayav a carbon for lying now, is it? I mean, generally, I'm only chayav a carbon if I'm over on an issa that has an issa karet. I mean, this is not an issa karet. So it's talking about, b'omer yodea anish shvua zo asura, aval ini yodeim chayavin alei a carbon ola. Wait a second over here. There's only one person that holds that is the definition of shogeg, and that is monbaz. So come on. Kimonbaz? Deoma shigigat korban. Shema Shigaga, where is that? Rechov Monbaz, who knows? Where in Yerushalayim is Rechov Monbaz? Hint, hint, it's got to be related to Avinu Malka. Yes, indeed. So every time you go by, you remember that Monbaz was actually the Baal of the Shita, that if you did an Issa Shat, and it wasn't Bishoge, but it was Bishigat Shigat Korban, right? So you simply didn't know that you're Chayav Korban if you do something on Shabbat. That's called, now, according to him, a Shigaga. So over here, you know what you're doing, you just didn't think it should be Chayav a Korban in the case where it would be Bishigaga. That means you're not fully aware of the extent of the Isra, and that's called a Shigaga. Wow. Is that what you're saying? That it's going only according to Shita Monbaz, which we know is entirely not the normative approach? I mean, nobody agrees with that. No. Of course, I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying that in this case, Afilu Temer Rabbanan, The case where the Rabbanan were arguing on one buzz was by Shabbat and everything similar to Shabbat, meaning a standard korban chatat, not a korban olav yoreh. So atkan lo pligi Rabbanan alei demon baz. Where did the Rabbanan argue on one buzz? The Chol HaTorah Kula. Chol HaTorah Kula has a very clear-cut model with chiyuv karet that appears together with avodah zarah, where it talks about kol, all of the things that a man can do that are usur, and therefore we learn from there anything similar to avodah zarah, which is a chiyuv karet, so on and so forth. But I mean, this is a crazy case. This case violates all norms of korbanah. It's a chiddush, because b'kol haTorah kula, did you ever hear of such a thing that you should bring a korban chatas on a lav? Lo ashkechan lav demaitei korban. We know of no other lav that is mechayev you a korban, right? The alfinu the avodah zarah, that is learnt out as the rule from Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is a chiyuv of karet. Okay. And here, for some reason, magically, you're chayuv anyway. That's a chiddush. In this case, even the Rabbanan would be moda that a ha'alama of the fact of the korban is sufficient for you to be considered to be a shogeg. Now, either that's because we are simply giving a lesser degree of demand in order to become chayuv a korban, because you don't need the karet, maybe you don't need the yediyah level, maybe even a lesser Shigoga would be chayav, or as some Rishonim say, or it's because since this violates the normal chiyuv of korban, the person logically doubted his chiyuv of korban because he never heard of such. So, in which case, the shigoga is more likely to be a serious shigoga. He actually underestimates the chumrah of what he's doing. He says, "Well, I certainly wouldn't be chayav a shvuah, a korban." And then we say to him, "Sir, you would have been chayav a korban." Oh gosh, I didn't realize it was that serious. So here, even the Rabbanan agree. Bo'amina Rabbeinu Mirab. How about if you're Nishbala Kikar, you swore you weren't going to eat that piece of bread, and then Mistaken Aleha. It turns out you're starving to death, you really need to eat that piece of bread. Or you're ill, and you need that piece of bread. Ma. What? What do you mean you're Mistaken? You're talking about Sakanan Nefashot. If the guy would have asked you, can I eat the piece of bread, you would have told him yes. So just be moderate for him. What are you talking about? Be moderate for him, but you'll bring a carbon. Ridiculous. Lishrei Ma. Tell him he can eat it in the first place. What are you asking about whether he'd have to bring a carbon? I mean that he feels himself to be faint. He's mitsta'er. And then he goes out and he eats. And he eats it b'shigigat shivu'ah. My. Now, the truth is that he ate it, and he would have eaten it anyway, you see. But he forgot that he made a shvuah. So he was so hungry, he was going to eat it no matter what. There's a machlokas out to learn this. Or, the shigigat shvuah being, he thinks that when he makes a shvuah, it certainly does cover situations where he's in this kind of pain. I mean, not when I really am hungry. No. So then what? So he thinks the shvuah doesn't apply. So my. Omar Lay, the point is that he needs to be shav miyadiyatov. It says yada. Yada means that if you would find out, that then you wouldn't do it. But over here you would have done it. Because you do know. Or even if you would have known, you had made up your mind that you were going to eat it. So this is not included because only a shav miyadiyato may be korban. Al shigigato. Lo shav miyadiyato. Eno may be korban. Al shigigato. So according to Rashi, even had you known, you would have eaten it anyway. So then that's not nogea. In this case, according to others who learned that you thought that you actually could eat it, but Lamaisa, Tosus has an interesting, Tosus's approach is, you know, you really wish you would forget about the shvuah because you want to eat it. So therefore, even if had you known, you still wish you wouldn't. That's not called shav miyadiyato. Very, very sweet. Britzono hayashokheya. He would have loved to forget. Kidei shiokhao because he wants to eat it. No, there's a hatra'ah for post the shvuah. Oh, there's a hatra'ah. Excuse me, of course there's a hatra'ah. Yes, of course. Yeah, sure. It says v'hu yada, which means that had he known at the time, that then it wouldn't have happened. It's just that he found out too late. Right? So that's the question. Does that mean, well, I'd rather not know? In which case, the v'hu yada is irrelevant because he doesn't want the v'hu yada. Or, I would have done it anyway, which is Rashi's approach, v'hu yada is irrelevant. Or, I do know, but I figured it couldn't apply to a case like this, and that's not called v'hu yada, because v'hu yada isn't the din, it's the fact. Okay, we have a number of different approaches to this, all of it very, very fascinating, each one with a different understanding of the nature of the relationship. relation to the idea, to the actual Korban. Omar Shmuel, Gamar Bilibo does not help. You commit yourself, and you never said it. That's not a Shmuel. Tzorich Shiyotzi Bisfatav. It needs to be expressed in your words. You have to say it with your lips. Ask the Gemara, what about this Brayta? Meitva. Bisfatayim. Seems to darshan like Shmuel. Starts off saying, Bisfatayim needs to be with your lips, velo b'leiv. How about if you were Gamar b'libo? How about if you committed yourself to it in your heart? How do you know that's enough? Wait a minute. Agufa kasha. You start off by saying that bisfatayim means velo b'leiv. How do you turn around and then say, and how do you know b'leiv is enough? Gamar b'libo. Minai. That's crazy. No. That's not crazy. Hello, kasha. Because the way to understand that is like this. Bisfatayim velo shagamar b'libo means that you had thought to make a shvua. But you didn't. In other words, you came to the conclusion, you know what? I am going to, when I finish davening, you know, the guy's convinced he's going to really do tshuva. He's going to start losing weight because he can't make his shvua in the middle of davening. Because as soon as I finish davening, he's thinking to himself, that's it. No more overeating. Of course, right after davening, somebody's making a kiddush. So, I mean, I don't mean to make the shvua before I eat the kechel. After I eat the kechel, and by then, of course, the whole thing is batel mevatel. This comes along now, this brayta to say, just because you committed yourself to make a shvua, but you didn't make the shvua, so the commitment is nothing. But how about if the shvua was never a commitment to make a shvua? It was the shvua. So you said to yourself, that's it, in your heart. I swear, I am never going to eat cake again. So, I mean, how about that? See, that's a whole different issue. So treat, says Rav Shesh, is rather, holokash, yochikam, bisvatayim, veloshe gamar bilibo lotzi bisvatayim. Okay? That's the case, we're velo lotzi. But how about gamar bilibo stam? You never had committed yourself to say it. You committed yourself in your heart to it, as the shvua. How do I know that is a shvua? Talmud lomar l'chol asher yivate, that's the point. But wait a minute. But Shmuel said that's not the point. Shmuel says gamar b'libo is never enough. Shmuel says gamar b'libo tzorich shiyotzi b'sfatav. So now this bright is saying definitely against Shmuel. So in Shmuel, this is a problem. Omer of Sheshet. Okay, then let's reread. I'll tell you how Shmuel would have to read this. Treats vehach bisvatayim veloshe gamar b'libo in the following case. Say patchitim. He had in mind lotzi patchitim. Now you can have. You're thinking so much. Your focus is on, from now on, I'm only going to be eating patori. You know. So instead of making the shvua and saying, I swear I'm not going to eat patritim, instead, now, you said the words patzori. That's not a shvua. That's what he's saying. It's a contradiction to what you were thinking. But how about if you were thinking, I am going to make a shvua not to eat wheat bread. And then you make that shvua, except you forgot to say wheat. You said, I'm not going to eat bread, meaning the wheat bread, of course, it was in your heart. So minayin, how do I know that in that case, that is a good shvua, and that your thoughts actually can define the shvua? Talmud lomar l'chol asher yivate ha'adam. That's the way that he'd understand it. But obviously, without bitui at all, that's how Shmuel would hear it. Without bitui at all, it's nothing. What are you going to do with this? Motzei sifatecha tishma. Says now in the pasuk, keep the word of your mouth, v'asita kasher nadarta la'Hashem Elokecha. That seems to be saying that you have to actually move your lips. Ela eli ela shotzi b'sfatav. And here is the devastating part to Shmuel. Gamar b'libo minayin. How do I know that even if you just said in your heart that you're not going to do this, how do I know that also motzei, that you better not ignore it? Talmud lomar kol nediv leiv. Now this is very interesting. Over there, kol nediv leiv, we're talking about the Trumat HaMishkan. So it says, kol nediv leiv yeviyeh Trumat HaShem, zahav, kesev, and achoshet. So it's clear. You made a commitment in your heart. I am going to bring my silver kiddush cup and dedicate it to the new Mishkan that's being built. Now you sort of change your mind. But it's kol nediv leiv. So the Torah defined the nidava as being chal the moment it was in your heart. So that seems to be against what Shmuel said. Shmuel says that your heart is not the issue when you're making commitments. It's your lips that are the issue. Well, what kind of question is that? I mean, obviously that's the point, is it not? Shanei hatam dichtiv kol nediv leiv. I mean, that's a unique case. We're talking about the Trumat HaMishkan. So over there, the Torah expanded your level of commitment. Shmuel is talking about the idea of a typical shvua. Yeah, Baba. But the question is, I mean, this is the only example that we have. Why not use it as the model for how to make commitments. The Torah is saying you can make a commitment in your heart. Where do you see that this is unique? Why doesn't Shmuel agree that we should use this as a model for all types of commitments? Well, that's because we shouldn't have a truma, the kodashim, shnei ketuvim haba'im kecha. Now Rashi understands this rather strangely. To mean truma, meaning the melechat ha-mishkan, which is what we're talking about, yavi trumat Hashem. And kachim, being a reference to the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, that's why it's problematic. In Divrei Hayomim, it uses exactly that word, kol nadiv lev, legabe, olot. So over there, he's calling that kodashim, you see. And therefore, you have shnei ketuvim haba'im kecha. The problem is, of kol nadiv lev olot, is not in the Torah. I mean, it's not in the Chamisha Kumsha Torah. The other approach is that truma means truma. Truma. Where is truma clearly laid? Not truma, it's Chamisha Truma. Because it says, v'nechshav lachem truma. V'nechshav means even b'machshava. So if you're coming to take off truma, you don't have to say it. You can think it. This part should be true. And it's going to be chav. So there you see that commitment's definition to be made internally. And kochim refers to this case, the trumat ha-mishkan, which is kodesh, the berek ha-bayit. So there you have shnei ketuvim haba'im kecha. Shnei ketuvim haba'im kecha. In melamdim. Wait, not everybody agrees to that. How about according to man yomar shnei ketuvim haba'im kechad melamdim? My ikel amima. Very simple. A shavua is not kodesh. Shavua is chulin. And you cannot learn chulin from kodesh. The two examples, at least relative to pure chulin, are kodesh. You can't take truma and kodesh as an example for chulin. For chulin, kodashim, logam, inan. Rabbi Yishmael, amen, ochay, velalatid lavo. How about just parif shein b'marava atava minayin? Talmud lomar o nefesh ki tishava levatei b'sfatayin. Eime yelo lahaba l'she'avar minayin. Talmud lomar l'chol ha'she'evatei atam b'shvua. Divi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel omer l'ara leitiv laba o mala Rabbi Akiva will make up your mind. I mean, him came. Eime yelo dvorim she'yesh b'matava v'ara'a. Dvarim she'im b'em ha'tava ha'rava ha'tava minayin. Omalo, I know that v'ribuy ha'katuv. Omalo, well, and be consistent. Im riba ha'katuv l'kach, riba ha'katuv l'kach. Hey, that's a good point. Shapa kama le'Rabbi Akiva le'Rabbi Shmuel. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel, she'meshet Rabbi Nechunim ben ha'kona. She'aya doreshet kol ha'torah kola v'chlal u'prat. Iunami doresh v'chlal u'prat. Rabbi Akiva, she'meshet Nechum ish gamzu. What are you referring to? My Rebbe Akiva Dorsh Rebbe Umiyot. The Tanya. O nefesh ki tishava riba. L'ara la'tiv miyet. L'chol ha'shi yevatei adam. Chazar v'riba. Riba miyet v'riba. Rule is riba ha'kol. Applied. My riba. Riba kol mili. My miyet. Miyet dvar mitzvah. Rebbe Yishmael Dorsh klal u'prat. O nefesh ki tishava levatei b'sfatayim. Klal. Le'ara leitiv prat, l'chol ha'shiv atei adam, chazar v'kalal, klal prat u'klal, i'at adam elekein ha'prat, ma'prat mufurash la'aba, af kol la'aba. So, ahani klole, latui afilu dvarim she'en b'am ha'ra'ava atava, but la'aba. Ahani prate, l'muti afilu dvarim she'esh b'am ha'ra'ava atava, but l'shavar, and why not epuchana? Om Rebbe Yitzchak, because it's got to at least be similar in some vague way, to la rala etif. I mean, over there, mishuru suro mishum bayachel dvaro, mashenken yetz tezo, shenisro mishum bayachel, ela mishum bal tishak, sure, it's shakru. Rav Yitzchak bar Avin omar, omar kro, o nefesh ki si shavala vate besvatayim, mi shashvua kademet levitui, velo shavitui kademet leshvua, yotza ze, achalti, velo achalti, shamase, kodem leshvua, tan rabba. Hadam b'shva prat la'anitz, v'ne'alam prat la'mezit, mimenu sh'nedalmanem mimenu shvu'a, yachar sh'nedalmanem mimenu ha'chefet, talmud lomar b'shvu'a, v'ne'alam al helem shvu, chayav, eno chayav al helem chefet. Omamar ha'adam b'shvu'a prat la'anitz, sechi dami, k'rav kan rav asik, v'kami v'kami rav, mar omar shvu'a sidachi omar rav, umar omar shvu'a sidachi omar rav, Kiyota lakami de Rav Omar, kechad binayu. Omar layida, what? Vana, b'shikra ishtaboy. Omar lay, no. Libcha, anascha. Venela mimeno shetalim mimeno shvua. Yoko shetalim mimeno chefetz. Tam nomar b'shvua venela mimeno. Alelam shvua chayav. Eno chayav alelam chefetz. Mechako like the Maharav. What an absurdity. Bishlam shvua. Okay, meshkachet abelo chefetz. Go nomar shvua shlo kol pat chitim. Mikasova shol kol pat chitim. Go nomar shvua chitim she chefetz dochet. Chefetz lo shvua. Hey, he done. Maybe because I'm a shvua shol chal patri tim mikasava shol saorim kaman. The shvua te docher chefze inche. I'm giving the chefze inche. It's another shvua. So I knew elam shvua. Elam Rabbi Elazar dobe daachati. Matki flor Rabbi Yosef. Why? You're saying chefetz flor shvua la mashkachat la. Very simple mashkachat la. Kugon am shvua shol chal patri tim. Voshit yadol esal ital patzorim. Voltav yadol shachitim. Because of a sorin in the akla, the shvuati docher lechefzu to the yadav. Omer Abai, yeah, but I mean, come on, klum mechayav to the korban. Elamai, the tof is biyade. It's a home shvua. Lishach min Omer Abai, the Rav Yosef. So of korban, the kamay telei. The iPad is miya helam shvua. Rav Yosef Orlaga, given the chiyada lei the chitinu. Poresh minei. That's called elam chefzu. Boimini Rover Ribbon Nachman. Helen Zevis of Yellow Mal. Omale, well, are Helen Shua Beyoda Vakayev, other Rob. Helen Chavis Beyoda Vapotter. Omer Vashi Chazina. Imach Matshua Kaporish, Helen Shua Beyoda Vakayev. Imach Mat Chavis Kaporish, Helen Chavis Beyoda Vapotter. Omer Ravino Ravashi, I understand the bottom line is, it's always the same. Klum Porish Mishuel Mishum Chavis. Klum Porish Mishavis and Mishum Shua. Ella Loshna. I just never knew whether you have a korban on it. Come on, but domer shigigat korban shma shigaga afilo teimer rabanan at kan lo pligi rabanan ale domon baz ela bechol haTorah kula the lav chidushu avlacha the chidushu bechol haTorah kula. Lo Ashkechan love the Maite Korban, because we learn everything out from Avodah Zorah, which is always Nisakare. V'ocha Maite. So here I feel Rabbanu Moda. Boy Meni Ravina Ramirova. Nishba Al Kikar. And now he's in Tzoras. He's Mistakein Alei Amal. Mistakein? What are we talking about a Korban? Lishrei Leimar. I mean, Mitztaer. V'achla B'shigigat Shvua. In the end, my. Amalei Tanina. Shav mi Yediatom evi Korban. Ashigigato. Lo shav yideyato, and maybe korban ashi yigato. Omar shvo, gomar belibo. Tzorek shiotzi bisvatav, shemel vate bisvatayim. Meitvei bisvatayim velo belev. How about gomar belibo minayim? Talmud lo malachol ashi yivate adam b'shvua. No, what are you asking on Shmuel? I mean, I'll go for kasha. First you say bisvatayim velo belev. Then you say gomar belibo minayim. On Rav Shesh, that doesn't bother me. Alo kasha. I can understand the braita very simply. Okay, come on. Bisvatayim. Velog begamar belibo lootzi bisvatav velootzi. But how about gamar belibo without ever thinking about lootzi? How do I know that that is a shvua? Talmud lomar lechol asher yivateh, but according to Shmuel, there's a problem. Omer Rav Sheshet. Okay, I can tell you how to read it according to Shmuel. Tritz vemach. Bisvatayim velo shegamar belibo lootzi patriti votzi patzori. How about if Gamar Belibelo Tzipat Chitin and he just was Motzipat Stam? Minayin. Tamud Omar Lachol Hashiv Ateyadam. Meitve. Motzas Vatecha Tishmor Vyasita. Ein Miela Shatzi Bisvata. How about if it's only Gamar Belibo Minayin? Tamud Omar Kol Nediv Lev. So what about Motzas Vatecha, which is what Shmuel held? Here we're saying Nediv and Nediv Lev. Well, that's the point, isn't it? Shmuel is relying on Motza Svatecha. It's a unique case. Here they call it Divleiv. Shani Atam is called Divleiv. Yes, but why not be Nigmar Mina? Mishum Da'avi Truma V'Kotchi. Shnei K'tavim Aboim K'echad. Chol Shnei K'tavim Aboim K'echad Imelamdi. And what about Enichel Mandir Imelamdi? Lamandir Imelamdi Ma'ikel Amima. Ah, because Legabe Eshvua, relative to Eshvua, you've got Chulin and Kotchi. And the din is Chulin Mikotchi Logam Vinan.